All right, good evening, Chief. Good to see you. We are on the fire budget, which is page 28 of the budget. Chief, my first question to you is, can you talk about your complement of firefighters and please speak about all the new recruits that came on, the new class, and then we'll move on from there. And Chief, you just got to grab it and get right in there. So I don't think it's on.
Oh, there we go. Thank you. Good evening. Back in mid-January, we had 23 new firefighters join our department. And we currently have 12 in training right now. Once those 12 are expected to come on in the first week of June, that will bring us to close to our full staffing of 204 is what we are budgeted for. And that will put us just five shy of that 204 figure.
Okay, thank you, Chief. And can you talk about how bringing on this new class has impacted fire overtime municipal budget? Always a hot topic here at the budget hearings. If you can talk about that light item.
Absolutely. So fiscal year 23, our proposed budget is $2,908,444, and that is from our projection of 5.2 projected for 2022. So we'll be able to meet our staffing level. It'll reduce our overtime. It also will reduce our injuries and sick time usage in the long haul by being fully staffed. Once the current recruit academy comes onto the department, we'll actually have a few floaters. We'll have five floaters for each shift compared to right now where we haven't had any floaters in quite some time. At one time, the department had a large number of floaters, I believe six or seven per shift. We feel that two is an ideal number, and that's what we budgeted for, two floaters for each shift as an ideal number.
Great. So not only does it reduce the overtime budget, but the men and women of the fire department are more refreshed. They get to go home. They're not working these long, long hours, yes, day in and day out, time after time, putting themselves in danger because of the extra time.
It has a huge impact on morale. Absolutely, it does.
Yeah.
In the past couple of years, members could not go home if they wanted to, whether it be for a, holidays, weekends, kids' birthdays, whatever the case was. It was also, because of the increased workload, having a negative impact on our injuries, our OJI as well. So this is going to put us in a healthier place for our department.
That's excellent. So I just wanted to highlight that because this is a budget hearing and we want to talk the numbers, and we do see that big reduction in the overtime budget, which I think is great. Also the impact on the individuals that make up this number, make up our fire department. Like you said, morale is up, less injuries, it's a really good thing. So, all right, I would open it up to my colleagues on the council. Any members of the council have any questions? Councilman Sinapi. And the fire budget starts on page 28.
Just first a statement. I'm glad to see that exactly what the fire department's been promising all these years, as far as if you get us more people, we'll have less overtime. And sure enough, that's what's looking like it's happening. And then line 35330, auto and vehicle maintenance. So that's dropping by over 100,000. But my question is that because it's moving to 65-265 DPW automotive?
That's correct. That money that's being reduced from our account is being added to DPW so that it'll make the repair of our apparatus easier to send apparatus that has to go out to a outside vendor can be done. And that's the reason why you see that decrease in that line item.
Got it. Thank you.
Councilman Gephardt.
Thank you. Thank you, Chief. It's already been said, so nice work. Glad to see
things moving in the right direction. All right, I'm going to just start with a couple of questions in the personnel supplement. On the civilian side, so there's a fairly sizable increase for fire code compliance technician. I didn't note the percentage, but it was well over the 2.75. Do you know, is that a role that had a longevity?
I believe that person was hitting a longevity milestone, which is the increase combined with the contractual raise that was affected.
Got it. And then fire alarm dispatcher, that was budgeted in 22 for $100,000. And then it's budgeted in 23 at $150,000. Just wondering the justification on that one.
Are we looking at 35,129? I'm sorry. 35,127 salaries of dispatchers.
Well, if you look at the personnel supplement on page 22, there's a line for overtime fire alarm dispatchers. I guess it is. Actually, it's 35,129. Yes. You see it there also. So that was budgeted at 100,000 in 22, 150,000 in 23.
So we saw a large increase in overtime this past year. We had quite a few dispatchers that were out at the same time from medical issues, as well as people that were being quarantined from COVID. In fact, we had to staff the fire alarm. So our fire alarm dispatching is done with all civilian dispatchers. Because of the shortage of dispatchers, we had to train firefighters to fill in that role, and we actually had to pay overtime to the sworn members to fill in so that we could adequately staff fire alarm dispatch center during the pandemic. So that, to the best of my knowledge, had never taken place here before. But it was a scenario of we're short-staffed from a couple of retirements to begin with, and then we had a few injuries at the same time, as well as people that were being quarantined from the pandemic, which required us to do whatever was necessary to ensure we could safely staff that building and maintain public safety dispatching. So we had to staff that with the firefighters that we trained to dispatch.
Okay, so then in this current, this upcoming fiscal year, it looks like you're anticipating that you will still be kind of facing headwinds in terms of losing staff for health-related issues and other things. That budget is up 50%, it looks like.
In conversations with our fire alarm superintendent, we do expect to see some people go out for some long-term medical-related issues.
Okay.
So we're trying to plan accordingly for that.
Okay. All right, so just one other question, and this I hadn't thought about this one before, but when Council President was talking about the floaters, So that's great. So you essentially have some extra staff in the event that there's an emergency or someone calls out or is sick. You can cover that. In the event that one of those floaters is out, do you then call someone in to replace the floater, or would you go without a floater?
So if we're in a position that our staffing allows us to have the floater. So we have to have 46 firefighters on duty by contract. That's a minimum manning. Because we have a floater, if we had 47 or 48, if we have those two floaters that were there and one of them is out for a sickness, we would not backfill that position.
Okay, got it. So So they're there as the contingency for the for your to meet your minimum manning. But if for some reason they were out, that would then not impact you. We wouldn't then be calling someone else in to, you know, essentially increase our manning to 48 or whatever.
Right. That will not affect that will not add an increase to overtime. However, the reality of it is that we most likely I'm not going to see us have extra people on. And that's part of having two floaters instead of the six or seven that they had at one time. That you're paying that salary as well as that those benefits to that person. It's quite an increased cost. So we felt two was a much more realistic number.
Yeah.
And there's always going to be somebody that's going to be out either injured, sick, or on vacation. So that floor will be used to backfill that and reduce the overtime cost.
Got it. But then that becomes that's a management decision in terms of whether you fill that rather than a contractual obligation or a mandated. Okay. Great. I think that's all I have. But so thank you for your hard work on this and appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Chief, I'm going to follow up on Councilman Gebhardt's question about adding fire code technician. What the contractual increase was 2.7%? Okay.
For the municipal, I believe that's
so
received.
On the item that Councilman Gebhardt, was questioning fire code compliance, that has gone from 38,802 to 52,155. Do you know what the step increase was for that individual?
I don't offhand. I can certainly find that out and get that information for you.
Well, when I do the math, if I put the 2.7% on the 38,802, that's 1,048. It brings it to 39,849. If I use a 7% step increase, that brings it to 42,639. But this number of 52,155 is calculating a 31% step increase. So it appears as though something is not correct. Either my math is off or these numbers are off.
I can research that, Councilman, and find out what the other increases in that line item are for. They were both vacant for a while because one of the positions was in the police department and the other one was vacant.
Yeah, the position was vacant, and it was filled by somebody who was at 10%.
Say what?
The position was vacant last year, and the person who took the position has a longevity of 10%.
Still doesn't come up to from. You can't go from 38,802 to 52,155 with a 2.7%.
It was budgeted at bottom step, so this person's probably not at that step plus the 10%. Gets up there quick.
Last year, that budget code 068 was budgeted for $38,802. That's what that position was worth, $38,802. I don't care who the person was filling it. Excuse me, that was the position. This year, that position 068 has been increased to $52,155. That does not compute with a 2.7% contractual increase and a 10% step increase. It comes up to 31% step increase. That doesn't make any sense.
It computes with the pay grade. I'm guessing M09, so it must be at that pay grade plus the rest of the union contract where you get top Depends on where they came in from, what
I'm
step
looking
they
at
start
job
at, and then
code,
they get their longevity.
I don't know where she
I'm
came
looking
from.
At job code 068 in both personnel supplements.
Fire code compliance tech.
Sorry?
Fire code compliance tech. Right?
It says fire code compliance technician. Yep. One position. Job code 608, 52,155. That's for this year. For last year, the 2021-2022 fire code compliance technician, one position, job code 68. The salary was 38,802.
That was unfilled last year.
Chief, it doesn't matter if it was unfilled or not. If you were going to fill it, you'd be filling the position at 38,802.
The numbers were calculated based on whatever they were owed contractually is what we base our numbers on. We can certainly work. I don't have the breakdown in front of me, but we can certainly provide that.
Well, something's not right because I don't care if the position was filled. Someone were hired to fill that position, job code 68, they would have been paid $38,802. This year, they're going to be paid $52,155. That's a 2.7% contractual increase and a 31% something increase.
If somebody bids into it, I'm not an expert on the municipal contract, but
I mean, it was a vacant position, so we would have budgeted it for somebody who walked off the street and into that job. Mm-hmm. As it turns out, somebody internal got the job and then inherited some benefits and steps through the municipal contract.
I couldn't understand anything you were saying.
So the position was vacant last year, so we would have budgeted for it at the level of somebody walking off the street into that job. As it turns out, the job was filled by an internal candidate who carried with them inherited step increases, longevity, years of service with it. So they would get the same pay grade, but with the added benefit of years of service with the city.
I mean, I understand that.
So nobody got a 31% raise in the civilian.
It's what?
Nobody got a 31% raise.
Well, that's what this says.
There was nobody in the job last year to give a 31% raise to.
If someone would have been in the job last year, they would have been paid $38,802, correct?
If they walked off the street.
Okay. So how long would they have had to work here to get a 31% step increase?
This person has a 10% longevity. Plus the top step.
Longevity. Factor it all in.
Yeah.
You're telling me, could you send me the breakdown of that?
Yeah.
How this position went from $38,802 last year to $52,155 this year. Telling me who the person was, what the longevity increases were, or whatever it was, to change it from 38,802 to 52,105 or 55. I didn't see anything else in here that gets that type of an increase in a year. Doesn't make sense to me. Sorry. Maybe you can give me the numbers that will make sense, but this doesn't make sense right now. Chief, on the so I'll just, you know, respectfully wait for that spreadsheet or series of numbers that you're going to show me how that came up to that. Chief, I'm looking at the numbers. The overtime is down significantly from last year. The salaries are also up significantly from last year.
2 minutes, Councilman.
And in all the years that I've been on the council, I've heard the same thing. If you give us the full complement, you give us the staffing, we're going to cut the overtime. We've had conversations on this council floor that if you give us the six floaters or eight floaters, whichever it was, this is going back several years ago, we will be able to keep that overtime down to 800,000. You got the staff, you got the floaters, and the budget came in somewhere around 1.2 million. That was before you were chief. I'll make that point clear. I have yet to see the overtime come in under budget, at least that I recall. And from 2017 to your proposed budget of 2023, every year except one year, which is in 2019, your salaries and overtime increased. Didn't matter if you had a full complement or not. In 2023, your proposed budget for 2023 for salaries and overtime is $19,931,249. The proposed or the projected numbers for 2022, assuming those numbers are accurate, understanding from earlier this evening, that proposed or that year-to-date number is somewhere around middle of April, beginning of May, something like that. The projected numbers for 2022 are $20,519,314. So with the additional complement, with the funding for the complement, including reducing the overtime, including the salaries, your budget this year is still almost $600,000 more than it was last year.
The budget overall is going to be reflected in the additional manpower that we added. So our overtime is going to be less, but our personnel items are going to be higher for the additional personnel that we hired. The overtime reduction is also reflected in that hiring.
The difference between your salary item this year versus last year is somewhere around $1.8 million. I'm sorry, yeah, $1.8 million. Your reduction in overtime is 2.3. So when you look at that on the face, you're saying that this went down 500,000 from last year, but it didn't. It's actually 588,065. And that doesn't include, of course, all the associated numbers for benefits, which are about 42% that get added into those numbers. So the point I'm making is, again, respectfully hearing and listening to what you're saying, that you give us the staff, you give us the complement, and we're going to bring that overtime down. How do you have a full complement of staff and still have almost $3 million in overtime?
Because we're budgeting for what we're going to have to fill due to minimum manning requirements when firefighters are on vacation. We have to backfill that shift. If one person is out, we have to backfill it. We don't have much of a cushion. The two floaters are put in there to provide some cushion and assist us so that we don't fall so far below like we had in the past. But we are, as most fire departments are, contractually obligated to the minimum manning requirements of 46 per shift. So if we're at 46 and one person calls out, we have to backfill that. I believe most other unions in the city may not be under the same tight regulations that fire departments are. But it's usually one for one. Someone calls out or is on vacation, that shift has to be filled. That is the driving force of our overtime.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. President. I'm all set.
Thank you, Councilman.
Just one other comment. I mean, I've worked with Jason on these numbers and the chief when they were putting their budget in, but last summer we were spending $160,000 a week in overtime. It's now down, with this first complement coming in, down to $80,000 a week. With the 12 additional firefighters going on in June.
Right.
And they put them on chucks beginning in July. And July and August are tough for overtime because of people on vacation. But this budget is really based upon reducing overtime starting in September to about $55,000 a week. And I've gone over the numbers with Jason, and I'm comfortable that there's a good chance they're going to get there.
Time will tell. Thank you.
Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. To pick up where Councilman Lattiser, I believe, was leaving off, my back-of-the-envelope math is that looking at the 22 projection, comparing it to the 23 proposed budget, you have in the 23 proposed budget for salaries, Fire 2, $16,586,000, compared to in the 22 projection for the salaries, $14,840,000, a difference of about $2.7 million. And of that, it appears to me, back of the envelope math, that approximately $400,000 of that, more or less, is based on the 2.7% raise, with the balance being due to the additional hires, more or less.
I mean, that raise is not, that raise is for municipal only, not for the fire department.
I mean, just when this budget was put together, there was some hope. There was some hope that you would, first of all, get some people from other fire departments, but it didn't really work out. You didn't get new people
right.
in the force until February sometime.
Right.
With a second round of 12 in June, this budget was really contemplated getting people in the fall sometime. That did not happen. So that's why your overtime is higher and your regular payroll is lower, because those people didn't come on until February, starting in February.
Okay.
And also combined with the overtime is the effects of of COVID, is the fact that we had a large number of people that were still had to be quarantined and be out. In some cases, we had whole stations that were in quarantine that really drove up our overtime number as well, in addition to the vacant positions that we had.
To be clear, my first question was about the difference between the projection for the end of the current fiscal year on salaries and the proposed budget in fiscal year 23 for salaries, not specific to the overtime, because I want to just establish exactly where that the $2.7 million is primarily due to the additional hires. We're not talking about everybody gets a 15% raise, right? This is additional hires. A raise may have something to do with the projection, maybe, but primarily it's due to we're paying more people, correct?
That's right.
Okay, good. All right, so using that $2.7 million, and then now I'm taking a look at the overtime for Fire 2. So just comparing now the Fire 2 salary to the Fire 2 overtime, so trying to compare apples to apples, and similarly apples to apples, trying to compare the 22 projection for the end of this current fiscal year to the 23 proposed budget, I see that the difference of approximately, this is the 22 projection, $5,262,000. Subtract from that the 23 proposed budget of $2,908,000, and that's a difference of approximately $2.3 million. And so I'm comparing that additional $2.7 million in the salaries, comparing that to the $2.3 million less in overtime. And I'm trying to just kind of wrap my head around that, in that overtime, it's my understanding, is typically, and under the collective bargaining agreement here, paid at 50% more than the salary. And so I'm not sure why, if the salaries are going up by $2.7 million, with the vast majority of that being explained by additional hires, that the overtime would only go down by $2.3 million, as opposed to a more dramatic decrease, considering that overtime is paid at time and a half.
Point of order, please. I think that there's been an error in that calculation. The proposed budget of 2023 is $16,586,000. The 2022 projection is $14,840,000. It's $1.7 million. If I'm understanding Councilman Ricks correctly, I think he was calling it at 2.7.
Thank you, Councilman Mattiser. You know, that back of the envelope math was a little too hasty there. Yeah, so $1.7 million contributed to the $2.3 million decline there. Okay, I can see how that makes more sense. However, looking at some of the other 2022, I'm looking now at that third column from the right, year to date, starting with line item 35116, unused sick time. So for the 2022 year to date, it's $447,712. Same number for the 22 projection, but in the proposed budget for 23, it's at $305,000. And so I'm not sure why there were some large swings on that line item in the past. I see it going from $387,000 in 2020 to $703,000 in 21, back down to $312,000 in the budget for this current year, 22, and jumping up in the actual numbers to the $447,000. So I'm not sure what attributes to the swings there and why then it's at $305,000 in the 23 proposed budget.
One of the things that accounts for the swing that you see in those numbers is the fact that the unused sick payout and the unused sick severance when they retire both come from that line item, and we are unable to we're unable to plan for retirements. It's very difficult. We really don't know how many people are going to plan on retiring each year. So if there's a year we get more retirements than expected, that is why we see that spike in those numbers. It's impossible for us to forecast exactly how many retirements we're going to have each year and how much we're going to have to pay out in severance. And because of that, we are unable to forecast with certainty the number of retirements we're going to have each year and the money that we'll need for the unused sick account.
Thank you.
2 minutes, Councilman.
Thank you. Another thing I was uncertain about, that unused sick time item, is could the 22 projection in fact increase even if there aren't additional retirements, but because of the way that the contract works, in that once firefighters hit their 100, I think it's 140 hours they can monetize.
I'm sorry, Councilman, I didn't hear the last part of your message.
Even if a firefighter does not retire, it's my understanding that they can continue to, once they accrue hours in excess of 140 hours, it can be monetized?
It can be, with a limit that's spelled out in the contract, which is annually, I believe it's capped out at 12 days.
Okay. And then, since I'm running short on time, I'm looking at line item 35305, sewer usage. The 22 year to date is 332,000. The 22 projection is actually $22,000 less at 310,000. And the 23 proposed budget is $200,000. So, trying to line up these line items. It's actually 35,330, auto and vehicle maintenance. It was at current year-to-date 22 at the 332,000, 22 projection 310,000, and the 23 proposed budget is 200,000. It just struck me as odd that the year-to-date is higher than the projection, and then I'm not sure how the 23 budget is being set at significantly less.
So that is a reflection of an account that was set up with Public Works as having, rather than put that money in our account, we put the money in an account for Public Works that's going to be used for fire department repair for outside vendors. And so I believe when DPW comes up, they'll probably discuss that in more detail. But that is that's the reflection. That's the reason why we see that decrease in that 35,330 for auto vehicle maintenance.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Are there any members of the council that haven't get a chance to speak? Would like to ask any questions? Are there any members of the public that would like to speak on the fire budget? Starts on page 28. Any members of the public that would like to speak on the fire budget? Starts on page 28. Okay, next up is the Warwick Emergency Management budget, which is found on page 30. Chief, I believe that's you as well?
Yes, sir.
Are there any questions for the chief for the Warwick Emergency Management budget, page 30, from members of the council? Members of the council? Any questions from members of the public on the Warwick Emergency Management budget, page 30? Members of the public? Okay, the next one is fire grants. Also, the chief. Chief, also on page 30, are there any questions from members of the council on the fire grants budget? Any questions from members of the council on fire grants? Councilman Gephardt.
Less of a comment. I mean, less of a question, more of a comment that the department always does an excellent job in securing grant funding for necessary and, often costly, upgrades. Things look pretty static here, but I know you're always looking out to the future. Is there any potential upside in this category in terms of things that you need to acquire?
Yes, Councilman, there is. So what you see there, the pass-through grants, that is a combination of grants we receive each year to run our hazmat teams, our marine teams, our tech rescue teams. But what we have applied for, we currently have applied for assistance to firefighter grant for $986,274 to continue our radio upgrade program that we have. That'll buy portable radios, mobile radios, repeaters, things of that nature. So we are still in, we've applied for that, and we are in the process of waiting to find out. We don't expect you for a few months yet. And we've also applied for a SAFER grant, which is a SAFER a staffing grant. It's a three-year grant we've applied for as well. That is a $5.7 million grant we applied for. We're also in the same boat with that one. We're still waiting on that. In addition, we've also applied for other smaller funding opportunities that come out from Rhode Island EMA, and we're always on the search for other funding opportunities.
Your team does a great job on that. So in terms of the first grant for the radio infrastructure, are there budgeted dollars in this budget related to those projects that could be offset by the grant, or is that work essentially waiting to see if you acquire the grants?
So in the capital items, there is some I believe in fiscal year 24, there's some projects that are listed for upgrades to our communication center, our fire alarm dispatching area, things of that nature. And we've also applied for some federal funding opportunities as well that may offset that.
Okay. So there is some potential upside in this budget that's before
yes.
us. And the same on that SAFER grant, same timeline, it could have a material impact in the 23 budget, or does that one look further out?
Realistically, probably the 24 budget.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Any questions for members of the public on the fire grants budget? Any questions for members of the public on fire grants? All right. Thank you very much, Chief.
Thank you.
Next up is building inspections. It's on page 31. What's that? Yep. Is there any questions for members of the council on the building inspections budget, which is on page 31? Any questions for members of the council? Councilman Gephardt.
Hello.
Good evening.
Would you just state your name for the...
My name is Seth Gobitz. I'm the alternate building official. My name is Seth Gobitz. I'm the alternate building official for the city.
Thank you for coming to join us tonight. Give me a second to get organized here. All right, so I'm mainly in the personnel supplement. So building complaint clerk. Was there a retirement, or did someone leave in that role? Because that looks like that's down $8,000 from what was budgeted last year.
Yes, we had a retirement the past year, so we have a new complaint clerk in now.
And is that role already hired, or is this a forward-looking?
No, it's already been hired. The person's been in position for about 4 months now.
Okay. All right, so they will achieve the... some step increase in this budget year?
I'm not aware. So it's first time working for the city, so he's only been here for a couple months.
Okay. All right. Second up is, so the electrical inspector and the construction inspector, both of those roles increased. Well, the construction, there's two, but both of those increased by 5.57% over last year.
That is correct.
I'll answer that for him.
Thank you.
I appreciate that.
So what happened last year is for municipal and non-police or fire. The contract was in limbo, so we didn't actually budget the 275 for these positions. So that's what you're saying. We didn't budget the 275 last year. It was over in contractual obligations on 75,198. And so it looks like it's compounded this year, and it hasn't.
I see. So they were paid the increase in the current year.
Yep.
And we don't have position by position, like actuals through the year or projected for the year. Or I guess we do in aggregate.
If I pulled one of those right now for you, you would see the 275 was processed.
Got it. Okay, so wherever I see 5.57, essentially, that's a partial year of 2.75 for 21, 22, and a full year of 2.75. Okay, great, thank you. So then I'll just focus on the larger ones. So clerk tech zoning specialist. That one was up 14.5%. Again, we can assume it's longevity, but I'd like to confirm that.
That's correct. She's been here longer than I have.
Okay, got it. So she hit her 18 months and received her step. Okay. I would love to get any kind of document from the city that would show those increases and when they hit. Would probably eliminate some repeat questions. And then the other one that was down was the permit specialist. So there's a savings in that category. It looks like there's two roles there, but there was some savings in that. So I don't know, perhaps a retirement or a replacement.
The permit specialist moved to a new position. So we recently hired a new person from a different department to come over. The other one has been there for about 4 or 5 years.
Okay. All right. So we saw the savings on the new hire, and the other one's just sort of business as usual. Okay. That's all I had. Thank you.
Thank you. Seth, your department you have a lot going on in that department. So you have building permit issuance and fees, et cetera. And I just want to point out that I can remember that maybe 10, 15 years ago when we had such a situation here in the city with the building department, there were a lot of issues in terms of getting permits done, getting plan review done, et cetera, et cetera. I think over the last 7, 8, 9, 10 years that our building department has really turned things around in that. And I can speak to it freely because I pull a lot of permits during the course of the year throughout the city. That is paramount to revenue for this city, getting those permits issued, getting those plan reviews done, getting electrical inspections done, et cetera, et cetera. And something I just want to point out is the building permit fees generated by the department this year is projected to be somewhere close to $1.2 million in building permit fees. Next year, it's $1.3 million. And that's good news for everyone, because when you increase those building permit fees, that means you're increasing revenue to the city, not just in the fees, but the ancillary things. I also think a question I had asked earlier was what state fines and penalties were, item 100-036-7876. And I think I just figured it out.
The penalties?
Seth, do you know, it's, I got it. 100-03676. That's in the revenue side of the budget, Seth.
I found it.
Do you happen to know what the total fines were your office issued in the past year for working without a permit?
The total penalties that we collected since April, we stopped in April, we didn't do May yet, it's $121,000 in penalties.
Okay, that's in addition to the $1.3 million in fees.
That's correct.
So that item of 03676 of $94,199 for this year, is that from your office?
I don't know when this was made. Do we know what month this was?
The answer is yes.
The answer is yes. Okay. So we figured out that question. Okay. Seth, is your office up to full capacity now with staffing?
No, we have one position still open. We're trying to find a qualified candidate for the new position for building coordinator specialist. It's going to handle pretty much how the whole business, the building department works, from complaints, inspections, problem properties. Instead of having myself go out to every single property, there's going to be the workload is going to be divided, so I can stick more on commercial plan review and do any properties of dealing with commercial. The new candidate will do mostly residential work and do the inspections with a B1 and a B1 inspection inspector qualification.
In your proposed budget for this year, has that position been budgeted for?
Yes, it's been budgeted.
Okay. Yes. Good. Okay. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Councilman Lanham. Any other questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public on the building inspections budget, page 31? Any questions from members of the public on the building inspections budget? Okay. Hearing none. Is there any objection to the library is not here this evening? Is there any objection to amending the docket to place the Warwick Public Library after the ARPA hearing? After HARPA, so it would be heard tomorrow evening. Any objection? Okay, hearing none, we will hear the Warwick Public Library tomorrow evening after ARPA. Next up is Human Services. And I want to thank the directors from Human Services for being here this whole time. I saw you up there. Good evening, Director. So
I'll try that.
I'm going to turn that mic on for you. Yeah.
Meg Underwood, Director of Senior Service.
Good evening, Director. First questions on how is your staff levels for Human Services?
Full. We don't have any vacancies at all in Human Services.
No vacancies. Okay. Are there any questions from members of the council on the Human Services budget? We're on page 35. Page 35, Human Services budget for the director. Councilman Gephardt.
Hi, Director.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Very well, thanks.
Let's see here. So the only question I had, let me get to your page, was in the transportation section. And I know you were before the finance committee recently and purchasing some vehicles. And one of the things that I noticed in your budget was that there was reduction in drivers and I think in fuel maybe. And then I recalled that you were adding some vehicles, and that just seemed discongruous to me. So
unfortunately, we were not able to purchase the vehicle. We had a grant and extra money thanks to the city. Oh, I'm sorry. We were unable to purchase the vehicle. The price from the vendor went from $68,000 to $80,000 to $114,000. So we did not have the funds to cover that. We still, the grant was still brought in and is going to be applied to salaries. We're hoping to get that next year. We do have some older vehicles, some 2013s that do need to be retired. We would like to have five functioning vehicles and have, currently we have two full-time drivers. We're going to add another full-time driver while eliminating three part-time drivers and one part-time dispatcher. So the dispatcher does some driving as well as the transportation planner. So there are technically four drivers and there will be five.
Okay, got it. So you're retiring some part-time roles in exchange for some more full-time roles, and then you'll...
Right. We're eliminating three part-time driver positions, one part-time dispatcher position, and adding one full-time driver. We find that it's easier to get a full-time driver than a part-time driver. And so the dedication and ability to count on someone every day is a little bit better.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Meg, could you repeat those numbers of that vehicle for me? It started out at what?
The vendor, so we had, I want to say there were four bids. The lowest vendor was 68.
No. The one that we originally awarded the vehicle to
was $68,800.
$68,000. Then it went to 86.
And then it went to 80,000 and change. I don't remember the exact amount.
Okay, we'll say 81. Then to 114, right?
Correct.
So that's interesting, because numbers I'm pretty good with remembering. And didn't the spread on that vehicle, didn't the spread on those bids go from 68 to 114?
That's exactly right.
Isn't that an incredible coincidence that that vendor knew the bid, the high bid was 114, realized they left 46,000 on the table, and then turned around and socked it to us?
I honestly think because I...
No, I'm not asking you to comment on it. I'm just making a statement. Something that I will certainly keep in mind if this vendor bids on our vehicles again. On the Pilgrim Center, it's not in my ward. I understand that, respect that, but I've gotten calls on it and questions. In your budget, do you have in your budget monies allocated for various repairs that are needed or may be needed in the Pilgrim Center?
We do for capital funds, yes. We have, I'm sure that will come
Excuse
up
me one second, Director. Councilman, that we're on Human Services. I don't want to skip ahead. That's Senior Centers, that's next.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm just... Yep.
Same director.
I'm thinking it's all like one and the same. All right. Hold my question. No problem.
any other? We're
I'm still
Human Services.
Remember that vendor.
Any other questions for members of the council on Human Services? Any questions for members of the public on Human Services? Hold on. Any questions for members of the public on Human Services? Councilman Ricks.
A brief question. So, on the contributive support. Miscellaneous. I take it that there is an application process?
Yes, as a matter of fact, that was just completed. So the mayor has a committee of people who interview nonprofits who are interested in the community support, contributive support, I'm sorry. And those interviews were just completed, and the mayor now has the decision as to how to distribute that money.
I see that in the past there have been some faith-based groups on the list, and I was curious what the, well, I'll hold that question since it doesn't directly have to do with the budget. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Next up is the Senior Center, Councilman Lattiser.
Go to it, Meg.
So, could you just repeat your question for me?
Yes, I wanted to, I was asking if you have monies in your budget for taking care of repairs, potential repairs, et cetera, in the Pilgrim Center.
Yes, so again, that's in the capital funds budget. And the first year we have, for instance, flooring that needs to be replaced. The building is 32 years old, I want to say. And it's, you know, obviously some of it has fallen into disrepair. And one of the things that really needs to be done is new flooring. We did get a few things done last year. But there are several things in the capital funds budget in terms of getting repairs done to the building.
Thank you.
Questions from members of the council. Councilman Ricks. And we're on page 37, Senior Center.
In addition to the flooring for the Pilgrim Senior Center, could you outline some other areas of concern for the Senior Center that would require capital repairs?
Unfortunately, I do not think I brought the capital funds update. Do you have that? Thank you. In 22 to 23, the flooring, $35,460, and the building condition assessment. Eric Earls had assisted us in finding a company who could come out and really look at the building carefully and find out exactly what we need. And that assessment is $10,500. That's budgeted for the next year. In the following year, flooring for the classrooms and the offices, and also banquet chairs. I believe we also have a bus budgeted for those first 2 years. It's not on here for some reason. Not on this. I've got a different. Thank you.
So, I
great.
Heard
thank
you.
You. So in FY24, $110,000. For the paratransit bus, which sounds like it's going to be more than that by then. The flooring, $79,000. Replacement chairs, $52,000. For a total in that year of $241,000. Did you want me to go one more year?
No need at this time. I did hear from some constituents that although at least one set of bathrooms was always functional, that there was a period of time where another set of bathrooms at the other side of the building were inoperable or out of order. I'm not sure if that has been corrected at this time.
Yes, there was a leak in one of the restrooms on the, I guess it's the north side of the building, and that has since been repaired.
Oh, I'm sorry. These mics aren't the best.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'll try that again. There was a leak in one of the bathrooms, making it inoperable for a time, but it has since been repaired.
Oh, very good. And are there any concerns about the roof?
That's one of the things, Councilman, that we're going to have that building assessment take a look at. We did have some repairs done to the roof about 2 years ago, but it was just one small section, and yes, there are concerns about leaks elsewhere, which is where the building assessment will come in.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions on the Senior Center? Any questions from members of the public on the Senior Center budget, page 37? Any questions from the public on the senior center budget, page 37? Okay, next up is senior transportation. Director, that's you again, same page 37. Any questions from members of the council on senior transportation budget? Any questions from members of the council on senior transportation? Any questions from members of the public on senior transportation budget, page 37? Any questions from members of the public? All right. Thank you very much, Director.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
You as well. Thanks.
Next up is community development.
Just chosen as a contestant on the Price is Right.
Come on down.
Mr. President, may I make a recommendation, please? Would the speakers please use the microphone that's on similar to this one?
Sure, if we can, the one in front of Director Schaefer, if we can grab that for the director. Okay. Mr. Vicente, please introduce yourself.
Bill Vicente, Community Development. As you can see in the budget supplement, it's just salaries. There's a $16,850 decrease in salaries from last year to this year.
All right. Is there any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Community development. Any questions from members of the public? Excellent job, Mr. Vicente.
Thank you.
Next up is the Department of City Plan.
Hi, Tom Kravitz, City Planning Director.
Good evening, Director. We're on page 40. How is the staffing in the Department of Planning?
Well, when you consider Bill's department, who just went, is technically under me. He's missing two, and I'm missing one person. Historically, in our department, I've been told by staff, this was as many as 14 in planning. We're currently at eight, and I would say we're adequately staffed.
Are you have any positions that you're posting? Are you trying to fill?
No, we're adequately staffed.
Okay. The mayor said we're good. Okay. Any questions from members of the council on the Department of Planning, page 40? Any questions from members of the council on Department of Planning? Any questions from members of the public on the Department of Planning? Any questions from members of the public on the Department of Planning? All right. Thank you very much, Director. Next up is Tourism, Culture, and Development. Good evening, Director. No pressure, but you're going to be the last one of this evening. So we are, for everyone walking at home, this will be the last one for this evening.
Well, thank you for having me. So,
no pressure at all there. Okay. We are on page 41. How is the staffing levels at the Tourism, Culture, and Development Department? Are you fully staffed? Do you have any open vacancies?
I'm sorry, I'm having trouble hearing you.
Do you have any open positions in your department? Are you fully staffed?
Yes, we do.
You have open positions?
Yes.
Or are you fully staffed?
God, I'm hearing echoing, I'm sorry.
Are you fully staffed, or do you have any open positions?
I'm sorry. Sorry, it's late. I'm usually in bed by now. We have two open positions.
So you have two open positions. Okay. Any members of the council have any questions on the Tourism, Culture, and Development budget? Councilman Gephardt.
I do. Let me find my way here. What do anyone have the page number that we're on? Thank you.
41.
So, thank you, Director. There are these increases in tourism programs. Can you describe, so it goes from 300,000 in the current budget year to 400,000 in the next fiscal year? I'm in no way opposed to investing in tourism, but can you talk to us a little bit about what that is and what are the outcomes that you are hoping to achieve?
Our programs cover a lot of...
Let's get the mic. Thank you.
Our programs cover a lot of the media advertising and buys that we do to promote the Warwick tourism.
You got to really get in the microphone and really hold it close to you, especially with the mask on.
Sorry. So that money, a lot of it goes for the advertising to promote Warwick. So we do on NBC, Channel 10, we promote to Connecticut, Boston, New York, New Jersey to try and bring people into Warwick.
So okay, got it. So the entirety of that, of the 100,000 increase is media buys?
Sometimes it, media buys, fireworks. We do a lot of things for events too. But most of our money does go to advertising to promote, to bring people here to fill our hotels.
Okay, got it. And that budget is funded by...
the hotel taxes.
Hotel tax, okay. Great. So essentially you're just looking to amplify the impact of those and draw more people in.
Yeah.
Do you publish any metrics on the impact of those programs? Like, is there attribution between you do a program here and then you can measure it in some way or another?
I don't think we heard that fully. Could you explain that or ask that question again, please?
Yeah, so typically in marketing, right, if you're going to spend marketing dollars, there would be some attribution in terms of, okay, I ran a program in Connecticut, and we've seen some increased activity from that market that justifies that we're doing a good job with our advertising spend. So just wondering how you track that and if that could be made available to the council.
Yes, we do. Now we... this new program, we get analytics, so I do get reports back from the television station, and also get, I can follow daily on a dashboard with this new company that we're doing for our search engine marketing and the OTT that we're doing with our Warwick video. We're getting a very good response rate of people completing the video, so we know people are paying attention.
Okay, that's great. And then are you... You know, are we promoting other assets of the city? Like, for instance, we heard tonight about the hockey rink, and it's in full more. But do we have any specific programs about assets like the rink or like the pool that might be attractive to, you know, sports leagues or someone else from out of state?
So we work hand in hand to promote the events, and that's our job to promote what they do. But also, I have a list of several hundred events from sporting events that are booked already in the state, and a lot of them I can show you the hotels that they are staying at. So people love to stay in Warwick. We have a great family hotel system with two beds in the bedroom so families can come. So we have tons, so we help promote those events, which brings the people in.
Great, and thank you so much.
Just to elaborate on that as well, Elizabeth works closely with the Providence Warwick Visitor and Convention Bureau, and that's a much larger organization of some 20 employees. They actively promote Warwick because it's the center of the state. We have the Crown Plaza, and so it's a centerpiece of the state with respect to hosting for various sporting events. And so they do a lot of the marketing for us hand in hand with Elizabeth. And I would also emphasize that you mentioned, Councilman Gephardt, that the monies that fund this program are through the state hotel tax. Those are dedicated revenues through the state's statutory formula, the distribution to this city. So these cannot be used for general fund purposes. They're specifically earmarked for tourism promotion.
Thank you. Any other questions from members of the council on the tourism, culture, and development budget? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public on the tourism, culture, and development budget? Page 41. Any questions from members of the public? Okay. Hearing none, I would like to entertain a motion to continue the public hearing on unfinished items and departments to May 24th, 2022 at 4 p.m. Councilman Howe, will you make a motion?
So moved.
Councilman Howe makes the move, second by Councilman Foley and Councilwoman Travis. We're going to do a roll call vote. A yes vote is for favorable action to continue to the public hearing to tomorrow.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Riggs?
Yes.
Mr. Snappy? Ms. Travis?